Our topic is solving the problems of life. That's our topic. You know what the solution is?
Do your duty. And pray God and do your duty.
Okay.
That's the best solution.
Okay. And what happens when you pray God and do your duty? What happens? Problems go away, right?
No.
No.
Not all the time.
Surrender the problems to Krishna.
Surrender the problems to Krishna. You like that solution? Okay. When you do your duty all the time, then what happens?
Still the problem stays.
You have to believe in Krishna and follow the path.
So
you have to believe in Krishna.
Okay.
So that the problems, what comes across, the problems don't go away, but we find a smooth face to go ahead.
If I tell the God, you feel good. My problem, if I explain to, of course he knew everything, but if I explain my God in front to front, you know, I feel good very much.
So that's the solution. Feel good.
Oh, of course feeling good. Yeah.
Okay. What about the problems?
Problems is they are taking care. Who is going to take care? Oh, I'm praying.
What are the problems? What does Krishna say what the problems are?
I think we think that we are the doers and the enjoyers. And we realize that Krishna, Bhagavan, is the...
Well, that's the cause, and then there's the problem. If we do our duty all the time, that's your answer. What the outcome is, we receive the results of doing our duty all the time. And when you receive the results of doing your duty all the time, that means another material body. But Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, Arjuna asks, what is Kshetra and Kshetragya? What is Prakriti and what is Purusha? And what is Jnanam and what is Jnayam? Six things. So when Krishna is describing in response, this body is called the field of activity, Prakriti. The one who knows this body is called the knower of the field of activity.
Kshetra.
So he's also described that which is the body is the result of doing our duty. By doing our duty, by not doing our duty, we also get a body. We get a good one or a bad one. But we get a good one, we still have problems. Even doing duty, got some problems. Not doing duty, you get some bad ones. Get a bad body, and get a host of other problems. So, when Krishna is describing, besides kshetra and kshetra-gya, there's knowledge, jnanam, and then there's the object of knowledge. So here's a list of activities, here's a list of items that Krishna indicates as items of knowledge. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with wife, children, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. While these are very laudable qualities, we could say they're very hard to find. So what does that mean? There's a lot of ignorance. Because whatever else is ignorance. And there's a lot of whatever else. Now let's go back to performance of duty in all circumstances. So that's the platform of, that's the platform that Krishna is requesting Arjuna, one of the items that Krishna is requesting Arjuna to come to. And if the consequence, I kept asking that, what's the consequence? We develop a material body. But we also receive the fruits of pious work. And what are the fruits of pious work? In Queen Kunti's prayer, she identifies four of them. Good birth, janma, aishvarya, opulence, shruta, good education, and Shri, beauty. So, by pious activity, one receives an elevated birth, an opulent situation in life, good education, and beautiful features. And the absence of doing of duty is the incurring of sin. Krishna explains like that to Arjuna. Arjuna, your argument is, if I engage in this battle, I'll be doing so many bad things, and thus I'll incur sin. And I'll get this terrible reaction for this sin, so I shouldn't fight. But actually it's the other way around. Your duty as Kshatriya is to protect, and you fail to perform your duty, and that's sin. And by sinning, so many complications will come. So perform your prescribed duty. So performance of prescribed duty, then a whole lifetime of performance of prescribed duty, pious life, results in another body. A good one. High birth. Maybe attainment of birth in the heavenly realm. But another birth. And with that other birth, aging, disease, and death. Janma Mrityu, because Krishna has taught that lesson in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever takes birth must also die, and whatever dies must also be born again. So, what's a good person to do? We have to do our duty. But if we simply stick to doing our duty, and then we get the fruits of that pious activity of having done our duty, then we have not only continued problems, but we get continued births and deaths with more problems. So what's a good person to do here? What's the recommendation? We should be situated in knowledge and understand these are the real problems. And what's the solution to these problems? The solution to the problem is to turn our attention to the object of knowledge. Because those are items of knowledge, all of them. They're very nice. If you could put all those nice qualities in one person, you'd have a great person. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, and so on. Very nice qualities. One needs to turn one's attention, like you described, to the object of knowledge. And what's the object of knowledge? What's the goal of the cultivation of knowledge? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapadyate vasudev sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. Such a great soul is very rare, but the great soul that's very rare achieves shelter of the object of knowledge, or the purpose of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to know Vasudeva, Krishna. It's described right in Bhagavad Gita. After many, many births of cultivation of knowledge, all these nice qualities, and you have them all, the fulfillment is understanding who is Krishna. And when you understand Krishna, what do you do? What's the cause of all causes? You surrender to that cause of all causes. And what's the result? Punar janma navidyate. You've just solved all the problems. The solution to all problems is to not have any. And the problem is, the root of the problem is, we've turned our attention away from Krishna, and instead we've turned our attention towards material nature and being the enjoyer of material nature, however dutiful we may be going about it, trying to be the enjoyer of material nature. Trying to be the enjoyer. Trying to be the enjoyer of another's property, you're a thief. Common language, you're a thief. And that's our program. Doing our duty as thieves. If we're not recognizing who this property belongs to. So recognizing who the property belongs to, then we engage in, that's the higher sense of duty, is to use all the things around us, abundantly around us, in service to the proprietor of those things. Those are such simple ideas. And present such simple ideas to a pious person, and they'll say, that's fine, that's wonderful. But then, how often are we living our life that way? How much of our life are we living our life that way? Or one of the items of knowledge is accepting the value of self-realization. How does Krishna say it? Accepting the importance of self-realization. I had a very nice experience at Penn State, so I'll share a little bit of it. The topic was I and mine in two parts. And persons attracted to come to that were pious, otherwise they would, you know, they'd be off doing something else. And we went through different definitions that commonly people accept as I am, who am I. Very quickly, I am this body. Or a little more subtle, I am my feelings and my thoughts and my desires. A little more subtle. I am my deep convictions, my values, that which I hold very dear as principles to live my life by. That's who I am. But beneath all that and supporting all of that and animating all of that is the soul. That's who we are. And we can agree to that. But how many of us are living our life that way? And until we live our life that way, we're going to have problems. Because we'll have another material body. With the material body. Birth, for starters, and death at the end, and in between is old age and disease. And if at the end we don't know who we are, we'll take another birth to experience again death and old age and disease in between. And it can go on and on and on indefinitely. Maybe in a higher aristocratic family, janma, nice birth. Maybe very opulent, or at least comfortable, good education, good features. The opposite, Prabhupada discusses this in Nectar Devotion. Some symptoms of bad karma, someone has very ugly features, or someone is very poor, or someone has extended legal complications. They don't receive good education. These are unfortunate circumstances. So to try to help minus God, we have nice education system. But it's not a nice education system if it's minus God. Because minus God means further birth, death, disease, and old age. The solution to life's problems is to no longer take another material body. Because as long as we have a material body, we're going to have problems. It's very nice weather today. Very, very beautiful weather today. Very comfortable. Yeah? Very nice. A few days back, it was very cold. And a few days before that, it was very hot. That was very nice. But wait a while. Wait next week. And then we say, oh, but that's nice. It'll bring nice flowers. And things will become green and it'll be very nice. Anyway, I was just listening. What inspired me to speak about this this morning is Prabhupada was a lecture from 1966 at 22nd Avenue, and Prabhupada was very, his voice was very animated, describing the real problems of life. And people don't know. They think the problems, maybe the weather is not so nice, we just need a little warmer, a little cooler. Or the problem is, it's tax time, and I've got all these taxes I have to pay. I know one person whose name I won't mention, but a nice, wealthy Indian doctor. The IRS is after him for $450,000. And he doesn't have it. Looking for some straws to latch onto so he doesn't drown. But even if we had no tax problems or the perfect weather and no mosquitoes and whatever else, you know, that might be considered a problem, there will be those problems. Adi Atmaka Klesha, Adi Daivaka Klesha, Adi Bhautaka Klesha. But assuming that somehow that could be, like, finished. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. Ubiquitous problems. I've got a cold. I didn't go out and ask for a cold, but it came. You know, I generally have really good health. I can, you know, go, and no problem. Got a cold. No, it's all right. Just blow my nose a whole bunch. And take some more rest and drink some liquids. But it's an unwanted factor of life. And getting old. Hey, get old. You can't, there's nothing you can do about it. And then following death, the following old, as we know what happens. And where we're going next, who knows? Who knows? You say, oh, I have many pious activities, I'm sure it'll be a nice situation. But then another birth, and then... So that's not a solution. Doing of one's duty is good. But the message of Bhagavad Gita is transcend, not just do good. That means the dedication of one's activity to the source of everything, the ultimate source of everything. And that's such a natural thing, it's such a simple thing. It's like offering palmfuls of Ganges unto the Ganges. What does the Ganges need with palmfuls of Ganges? Ganges doesn't need that. We need that. And to take what is it, whatever it is that we have received, and offer that to the source from where it came. And that's the solution to the problems. Because tangstatiksha svabharata, we have to, one of the first instructions that Krishna gives is the problems that arise due to the temporary nature of sense perception and trying to be the enjoyer of the objects of the senses, that spirit of trying to be the enjoyer of the objects of the senses, it brings about the features of duality. Matra sparsha strukontaya sitoshna sukha dukha da agama payon nityas tang satikshu saparata. So we look upon duality with neutrality, with equid-mindedness, just as Krishna is saying here in this item of knowledge. Somewhere. Equal-mindedness. Yeah. Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. That sounds like a contradiction, because the very nature of the word pleasant or unpleasant means I like it, I don't like it. Now, how do you remain equal-minded between situations that you like and you don't like? It seems like a contradiction. You like and you don't like. How do you remain equal-minded? You regard them as the illusory energy. That's what the illusory energy is, and that sense of happiness is also an illusory. Happiness and unhappiness, or pleasant and unpleasant. It arises from sense perception, O Sayana Bharata. And one should remain neutral or tolerant of that. But then the key, or you can even say the secret, is then where does your consciousness go if it doesn't go to that? It has to go to the Supreme. One's eternal position in relation to the Supreme. And what's one's eternal position in relation to the Supreme? It's serving the Supreme. Eternally. Even in the unpleasant or in the pleasant circumstance. Service to the Supreme. In this body or that body. In this condition of the body or that condition of the body. In health or in disease. In heaven or in hell. In a human form or an animal form or an insect form. Or whatever form. Whatever the circumstance, constitutionally the soul is the servant of Krishna. Constitutionally. The solution to life's problems is to accept that fact. And become situated in that consciousness. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Now what about the circumstances around me? The pleasant and unpleasant things. The nice weather, and then the rain, and then the heat, and then the cold. And it's the features of the illusory energy that has nothing to do with the self or the real contentment of the position of the self, that we serve Krishna this way, we serve Krishna that way, that's all. As appropriate for the circumstance. It's a point of elevation amongst the living entities in the human form of life on this earth to abide by the codes of Dharma. And certainly abiding by the codes of Dharma is to be done, the performance of duty. But there's an object or a purpose behind that, to attain or regain our relationship with Krishna. That's this transcendental knowledge, beyond goodness, beyond duty, is the position of a loving relationship with the Supreme. Such a simple thing. Such a natural thing. It's so hard for us. Because we're so conditioned by the spirit of trying to be the enjoyer of whatever is around us. What makes me happy? What makes me unhappy? And let me try to change those things that make me unhappy and try to do more of the things that make me happy. Because my happiness is where it's at. That's the essence. when in fact Krishna's happiness is the essence, and in a situation of a loving relationship, that's my happiness, is Krishna's happiness. We've fallen away from our loving relationship with Krishna, and that's the problem. And the solution is to restore that. It certainly has a relationship with our duties of life, but to do those duties of life for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Satkarma nipino vipra mantra tantra visharada. Prabhupada would quote this verse from the Bhagavatam. Supposing there's someone who's really expert at each of the refinements of brahminical life, all the six occupational duties and mantra and tantra, and they're expert. But that person who does not have shelter of the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, they can't save themselves, or to speak of somebody else. And conversely, someone may be in a very unfortunate circumstance of birth, be born in a family of dog eaters. But if that person has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, they can purify themselves and several generations before and after them, just by that having taken shelter of the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. That's the object of knowledge that Krishna describes. And he's that object of knowledge. So, where do you get knowledge from? Commonly, you get knowledge from the teacher. In material life, that's the program. We send kids to school. We don't just have them read books. We send them to school. And if it's homeschooling, they still have to have a teacher. Can't just like, you know, send them loose in the library, see you later. 12 years later, let's give you an exam and see how you do. Lots of books in there. They have teachers. And for transcendental knowledge, it also, same system, there's a teacher. And the teacher's function is to vibrate sound. And the sound is, if it's in disciplic succession, then it's going to have some effect. Transcendental sound vibrated in disciplic succession. Just hearing Prabhupada explain this. Even if someone doesn't understand, it has an effect. It's transcendental sound. It acts upon the soul. And gradually they'll come to understand. Like the illiterate Brahmin. Okay, that's another contradiction. What's an illiterate Brahmin? Brahmin is learned. But an illiterate Brahmin, meaning he couldn't read, he couldn't properly pronounce the words of Bhagavad Gita, but his spiritual master instructed him to read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, and he was illiterate. So it's just mumbling, making some sounds, but reading, putting the Bhagavad Gita in front of him. But his eyes were filled with tears. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, "My dear Brahmin, what is it that you're reading in Bhagavad Gita that inspires you in this way?" And the man could understand, "Oh, the other Brahmins, they make fun of me. Na 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 na, you can't read and you're a Brahmin. But I know that you're not making fun of me. So I can tell you, I can't read, I can't properly pronounce, but when I think of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead taking the position of the chariot driver of Arjuna, the servant of his devotee, my heart just becomes filled with transcendental appreciation for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. You've understood its message. So, our aspiration is not to enroll Krishna as our chariot driver. Our aspiration is to become Krishna's devotee. But when we become Krishna's devotee, Krishna becomes our chariot driver. Or he controls our senses. Because the horses are like senses. The senses are like horses, rather. And the chariot driver controls the horses. So, Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. We engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses. Our senses are controlled. Krishna becomes our chariot driver. He controls our senses. And if we have Krishna on our side, we'll be victorious. That's the conclusion of Sanjaya at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Arjuna and there's Krishna, there's certain to be victory. But not only victory, virtue. Just engage your senses in service to the master of the senses. Virtue will already be there. Performance of duty will be accomplished. It's a subset. So our little annual gatherings here is to help us focus on that once again. And the primary means of helping us keep that focus is the chanting of the holy name. Not just once a year, chant the holy name. Throughout the year, chant the holy name. Every day, chant the holy name. And hear the message of Bhagavad Gita. Ideally from a teacher that has received that knowledge in disciplic succession. So we can hear the recordings, Srila Prabhupada's wonderful recordings, every day. Even Prabhupada relished having devotees read his own books. You've heard that before? Prabhupada would just, you know, have some time. As busy as his life was, he would have some time. And he'd have one of his secretaries come and read Krishna books, or read the Bhagavatam. And he would sit and listen. And it just become absorbed in hearing. And on several occasions he would comment, this was written by Krishna. He wasn't glorifying himself. He was transparently saying, like Krishna dictating and Prabhupada wrote. This is transcendental. So relishable to hear even by the author. When the sense is it's coming from Krishna. So chanting the holy name and receiving this nice instruction and transcendental knowledge. The merit of solving all of life's problems. Praying to God is one of the processes of bhakti, for sure. Bringing our consciousness to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fixing our consciousness there, and engaging all of our duties in the consciousness that this is for the pleasure of Krishna. Even if we don't know the details of what's pleasing to Krishna, if we have that sincere desire, Krishna will send us the instruction. And then when we receive the instruction, we do it because it's for the pleasure of Krishna. Or we don't do certain things because it's not for the pleasure of Krishna. So connect to the pleasure of Krishna. Everything. Simple principle. That's Vaikuntha life. The one who lives their life that way, that's their destination. And that's the solution of all problems. Perfect. permanent solution. No more taxes. No more getting a cold. Because it's the change of weather and so I get a cold. Or my immune system is weak or something like that. Or whatever are all the other problems. One devotee in Chicago, he's been commuting from the suburbs to downtown Chicago for 30 years. So, sometime about a week ago, 10 days ago, he was waiting for the train and they made an announcement. The train is delayed. So he just waited. Then all of a sudden, oh, the train is now coming. So it's like two train loads of people got on one train. And so the train was packed. And it was one of those double-decker trains. So he went to go up on the second deck, and that was already packed. So he sat on the stairs going up to the second deck and pulled out his bead bag and started chanting. You heard this one? And then they stopped suddenly somewhere halfway to Chicago, and there, you know, big commotion, and then the train continued. And he got off the train, and the place was swarming with police. And several policemen came right up to him and asked for his name. What are you doing? Come with us. Many things happened. Half of his day was gone because somebody in the train saw him sitting with his bead bag and thought maybe it was an explosive. Maybe he's a terrorist trying to blow up the train. So there were, you know, he wrote me this whole long thing of this group of policemen, that group of policemen, sat in the police car, took them to the station, said, I'm praying, you know. These are my beads. I do it every day. And you can call my boss at work, and you can call the temple president, and, you know, call my wife, and, you know, I've been going to this, I'm doing the same thing every day for 30 years. What, I've got rights here. I want to call my lawyer. Oh. Well, we're just doing, you know, we got a report, we're doing a routine checkup, and don't worry, it's going to only take a little while, and took half a day, and he was all shaken up. That's not Vaikuntha. It's anxiety. At least the external is, you know, unpleasant. But one can be in Vaikuntha consciousness or Krishna consciousness, even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. Krishna says that at the end of the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's a symptom of a transcendentalist, one who has transcended the modes of material nature. Even in the midst of the most trying of circumstances, remains neutral because they have shelter of Krishna. One has shelter of Krishna, even in troubling circumstances, one remains neutral. And after this life, back home, back to Godhead. No more problems. That's the solution. Not just managing your problems nicely. Having no more problems, having no more material body. Purnar Janma Navidyate.
I have one question. When you say that.
Are you ready to go?
No.
No.
I have a question because when you say that when we. We should do all the relationship with Krishna and then Krishna will send us the direction. Give us some direction.
Okay.
How could we get, if Krishna doesn't talk with us?
Yes, he
we
does.
If we have a dilemma, then what should we
yes,
do?
Yes, he does. Krishna talks with you. You want to hear him?
Yeah, I want to know how that can happen. How could that happen? How could we get the...
Through this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to you. If you think that, oh, Arjuna was very fortunate, Krishna spoke to him directly, well, what chance do I have to speak to Krishna directly?
Yeah.
Like that. Prabhupada addressed that particular notion many times and said, that's not so. When Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, and you read Krishna's words speaking Bhagavad Gita, he's speaking to you. To think otherwise is to think Krishna's material and or as a worldly person, because as a worldly person, what the person says and the person are different. But when Krishna speaks, Krishna's speaking is not different than him. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to you. You want to hear from Krishna? Read Bhagavad Gita. You can speak to Krishna too, and he hears you. But it's not cute, that's a nice answer. It's a fact. As much as it's a fact that when we chant Krishna's holy name, he's present. Personally, in all of his spiritual potencies, he's present. We're dull, so we can't, we don't get it, but he's present. Instantly, just by saying his name, Krishna, he's there. And similarly, by his words, he's there. Same lecture, Prabhupada was saying, there's two types of Krishna katha. Krishna speaking is speaking about Krishna. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Directly, Krishna speaking. What scripture of the world is that? There isn't. Bhagavad Gita is very singularly special. And when Krishna speaks, it's Krishna speaking. It's like this is a little recording device. So when you hear a recording, say you hear, listen to Prabhupada, a recording of Prabhupada lecture. Prabhupada is speaking. Vibrationally, he's present. Physically, he's not present. Vibrationally, he's present. The same as if you're sitting in the room and he's physically present. It's the same. And what's this? This is the recording. Transcribed. Now in a printed form. Spiritually, factually, Krishna is speaking, and we're able to access Krishna speaking. It's true. It's not fiction. A nice idea, but not really. It's fact. And one who approaches Bhagavad Gita in that way, you can say one who has faith can experience that. Factually.
Srimad Bhagavatam is directly from Krishna.
Srimad Bhagavatam is directly from Vyas, who is a literary incarnation of Krishna. And it's directly about Krishna. Directly. By one who is authorized, Vyas was authorized to reveal Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. So read it in Sanskrit, read it in English, read it in Bengali, read it in your home, read it in your bedroom upstairs, read it on the train, read it standing on your head. But, you know, you hear, expose yourself to that sound vibration that Krishna is present. You can experience that. You become attached to Krishna. As much as presently we're attached to the members of our family, because we spend so much time and they're our family. One can similarly become so attached to Krishna through sound vibration that it becomes inseparable from your life. When that happens, Purnar Janma Nivedyate, your problems are solved. And with you, your family members are similarly benefited just by becoming Krishna conscious. They equally benefit. Something? Yes?
Maharaj, you were speaking about the false identifications that we have, identify with the body, we identify with the feeling. I'm kind of thinking that there's a lot of these feelings that I have, and becoming aware of a lot of feelings that I was not aware of before. And I don't like many of them. I don't like having those feelings or interacting with those feelings, bringing them, manifesting them in terms of action. But and I guess when I give in to those feelings, that is, or taking shelter of those feelings, and if I don't have to take shelter, then there should be an alternative on the other side. Is there another kind of feeling that I can take shelter of?
Krishna!
How does that feel?
Go there and you'll find out. If, for one thing, it feels very safe. What's that? We don't know what that feeling is. But that's the feeling. Because that's what Krishna is. He's it's protection and shelter. Sachit Ananda Vigraha, eternity, knowledge and bliss and fullness. What's that feeling like? We've forgotten. So, step by step.
So, when you say step, is the first step, is it tolerating the feel, I have this feeling and I'm so used to giving into it, but now I understand that this, I'm not this feeling, and I tolerate that, but then I don't have access to the other one either, but stay there and in course.
Well, when you take shelter of Krishna's instruction, like tolerate, there's some connection with Krishna that's felt. It's not just a mechanical thing. It's a personal thing. There's a connection with Krishna that's established by receiving and accepting and acting. There's a potency, at least, the protection potency of Krishna is felt. And then the unspoken part in that verse is, but I regularly address it, then you repose your consciousness somewhere else. You repose your consciousness on Sat and away from Asat. So what's Sat? Whatever step you can take that you understand is Sat. Chant the holy name, or hear the scripture, or see the form, or that which is of the nature of Krishna. Activity done for the pleasure of Krishna. Like chanting. Let's have some chanting.
Yes.